The Gwaltney Group.
The following is a sponsored program paid for by Robin Gwaltney. Gwaltney Group. RE/MAX Results. Welcome to Rochester Real Estate, featuring Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results and Andy Brownell. Here's Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good morning, Easter weekend already. Goodness gracious, I'm Andy Brownell and Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results with us. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Well, speaking about Easter weekend, after we did the show last week, it was our Easter egg hunt. Oh my gosh, that was awesome. You know, the weather couldn't have been more perfect. And the kids, I think we had about 400 kids there.
Wow.
I mean, in Wabasha, I don't know if they're, I mean, these kids weren't even all Wabasha. We had some of our clients come over from Rochester, from Nelson, from Plainview. It was so awesome. But anyway, we had 5,500 eggs. We had 1,200 prizes, plus all the eggs had candy in. Some had prize tokens, all had candy. And we started putting them out earlier, but we blew the whistle at 12 o'clock to start the actual scramble for picking up these eggs. And by 1 o'clock, in 1 hour, we had 400 kids through there, picked up all those eggs, went through the prize line, got all their prizes. Oh my gosh, it was chaos, but it was so awesome. I mean, I have really great pictures on Facebook on the Gwaltney Group webpage if you haven't seen it, but it was a lot of fun. It was a really successful turnout.
Did you guys have to manually fill all the eggs, break them open?
Yes, we did. So, I mean, there have been years where we've ordered them filled, but then we reuse the eggs, you know, because you can spend as much on those stupid plastic eggs as you do the candy you put in them. So, anyway, it was a lot of fun. But now it's the real Easter. I'm not at the stage where I get to do any Easter egg hunts yet, because obviously babies don't go hunt. But in a few years, I'll have my own Easter hunts besides.
It was funny. My kids better not be listening because we'll be mad if I tell this story, that even when they got into their teenage years, they still insisted on having the Easter egg hunt.
Oh gosh, that is funny. That is so funny.
And I look at them, go, really?
That is so great. I love it. Well, Tom Duxbury, who you've met on my team,
yes,
he told me that his adult kids, adults, right? They're all in their 20s and 30s. They still do an Easter egg hunt, only they hide cans of beer, bags of chips, you know, whatever. They hide different things when they do their little hunt around, because he lives on a big acreage. And I said, oh, wow, that sounds like fun.
Well, does Tom still, he's the one that has to go hide them, though, right?
I guess so, yeah. I'm guessing he is the one that, or his wife, but or the two of them together. But, yeah, he goes and hides all the things for them to go find.
Well,
so that beats your kids. They're in their 20s or whatever they are. Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so I hope everybody has a great weekend, obviously, Easter weekend. But I have to admit, with all the economic uncertainty out there, and I don't know if anybody could predict what's going to happen, because it's just so uncertain is a great way to describe it.
Yeah,
there's been so much. I've seen it. I've seen the news headlines. I've seen it on social media. All these, you know, I guess, armchair experts.
Yeah, there you go.
That there's the housing market's going to crash.
I get the question asked of me once or twice a week. I honestly do. A lot of people really do believe they are nervous. I mean, the interest rates have been so unpredictable. They go down. We think, oh, good, they're finally moving in the right direction. Woo, they go up. You know, so people are nervous.
But there's really no evidence that this crash is going to happen, right? I mean,
No, it isn't going to happen. So I will tell you that, well, just to back up some of these statistics, there was a poll done by Clever Real Estate, and 70% of Americans are worried about a housing crash in 2025.
Wow.
So it's not just a few naysayers thinking, oh man, things are falling apart. There's a lot of uncertainty. I cannot speak for the whole nation, because I know that there are real estate markets are being hit pretty hard. I know that there are markets where prices are falling people, I mean, one guy told me that he bought a house in Florida a couple of years ago. He thought he got a great price on it, so he invested some money in. But now he said, there's no way I can sell it and get back what I paid for it and what I've invested. I'm going to have to wait. That is not the case here in Rochester and Southeast Minnesota. I will tell you that the first quarter of 2025 is my best first quarter in 26 years in the
business. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I am so busy, so extremely busy, and I love it. I am not complaining. This is the way I like to be, is busy, busy, busy. But I think there's a lot of factors I can tell you. One thing is people have more equity now than they ever have. Okay. These are facts that I have, you know, said before on this show, but I'll just reiterate. 25% of Americans own their house outright. Okay. So no mortgage at all. They're obviously not going to lose their houses. And then there are 50% who have far more equity in their home than what they would sell it for. Okay. So even if they can't afford to make their payments anymore and can't personally keep their house, they're not going to walk away from it and lose it. What they're going to do is sell it, right? And that's just going to make some other buyer really happy because, of course, we have a major shortage of supply.
But when they do that, they're going to walk away with a big check as well.
They're going to walk away with a big check and help them get, you know, started over, maybe downsize, maybe rent for a while, maybe move home to mom and dad's basement. I mean, who knows what the situation is going to be, but it's not going to be devastating. There's another 25% of people who, if they had to sell their house right now, they're not going to make any money. They might break even, or they might have to pay a little bit because from the time they bought it to now. And again, I'm not telling you this about our market. I'm talking about nationwide. Sure. Okay. So nationwide, but that is hardly the makings of a housing crash. And, you know, I read something. I'm going to see if I can find it, but I thought it was a really good comparison. Oh, yeah. Okay. Here it is. I'm quoting now from an article. It says, think about it. If there's a shortage of something, like, say, tickets to a popular concert, prices go up. That's what's been happening with homes. We still have a shortage of supply. Too many buyers, not enough homes. Check out. Okay. So that's just a graph below. But it's saying, like, you know, when people really, really want it, so go back to the concert ticket. If there's not enough, what do? They put on a sec. If they sell out fast and there's still a bunch of people that want to go, they put on a second concert, yep. Right? So that's where we would start building more houses because we still have a whole bunch of buyers, but there's just been things that have gotten in the way of building those houses. So that's where the slowdown has come, but it's certainly not what causes a housing crash for sure. Ask all the experts, you know, might be 70% of the general public thinks this, but when you ask the experts, they do not believe there's going to be a housing crash, not only in 2025, but really not even in the near future, unless something crazy goes on.
Yeah. I saw a graph. It was a timeline, and I think it went back 80 years or more, and it showed there, I think, only two or three times during that time period, that this is nationwide again, that home values actually declined.
Right.
And one of them was obviously the Great Recession of 2008.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, completely otherwise, it's been, you know, sometimes modest increases, sometimes very, very big increases. But
exactly.
Mainly 3-5% range.
That's exactly right. And 3-5 is really conservative. And that's what I've been saying. I've been saying, you know, for the next few years, we're going to see 3-5. And I think year over year, we were at like closer to 6. I think it was like 5.8. So
yeah,
not even quite as conservative as I had been thinking it would be.
And you think about that when I, you know, have an emergency fund set aside and mm-hmm. looked for a place to park that money so it was liquid. I was very happy to get 5% when
correct.
Things were, you know, my bank was, you know, the bank I normally keep, but it was paying me less than 1%. I thought, wow, 5%, I'm super happy. And you're looking at that in your home and you're living in your home. That's even more fantastic.
The bank account you live in, guys. Yeah. Don't forget that. It's your biggest asset, and it not only provides you shelter, but it is helping you build your wealth.
All right, Robin. We do need to take a break already. We'll come back in just a moment with Robin Gwaltney. Gwaltney Group Remax Results. This is News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 to Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group Remax Results and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Welcome back, everyone. We're with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results, our regular Saturday morning program about real estate here in southeastern Minnesota. Robin, you mentioned that you're having a great first quarter. Are you?
We're in second quarter, but yeah, we had a super first quarter.
Are you busier with the buyers, sellers? Which side of the equation?
I think if we look overall for our team statistics, we're probably pretty close to 50-50. Personally, I do a lot more. I spend a lot more of my time with sellers. Not that I don't take buyers out, not that I don't show houses, but I'm actually at a point now in my career where the only buyers I typically work with are buyers who were past clients of mine or referred to me directly from one of my clients or from somebody in my sphere or from another realtor, because I get, you know, realtors from across the country referring me clients who are moving from wherever they live to here. So then I never, and not that I don't think that everybody else on my team is equally good, because we have a lot of great agents, but when someone refers something to me personally, I just feel like the right thing to do is work with them personally. So I spend the majority of my time working with sellers, but I do spend a fair amount of time showing houses. The nice thing is, because we do have so many listings, I mean, I don't think anybody else has more than we do and gets more than we do on a regular basis. And then we have a big team that has a lot of buyers. You know, it's really nice because we do a lot of matchmaking. Boom, boom, boom. Last week we sold a house to a young family just finishing his fellowship, going on staff. Bought a big, beautiful, you know, forever house. Well, forever is whatever forever is, but big, beautiful home, expensive. You know, they'll definitely be there a while. Their family can grow into it. And they had their smaller, in that $300,000 price range house that they had been living in throughout residency, throughout fellowship, that they would then need to sell. Well, guess what? They have four little kids and a dog, and they've outgrown their house. And literally have, you know, twins that have cribs in the laundry room. I mean, it sounds crazy, but it's a really big laundry room. But anyway, not the ideal situation for her to have to street, you know, bring a lot of people through the house. So, of course, we just ask, who's got a buyer for this house? This is what it is. And then Elizabeth goes, oh, my gosh, I have a buyer that would love to get that house. We've missed out on a few and multiple offers. So I say we could list it for $289,900, get into multiple offers, probably sell it for $300,000. Maybe we'd go $305,000. I don't have a crystal ball, so I don't know for sure. Or we can bring somebody in and tell them, if you're willing to pay $300,000 out of the gate, they'll sell it to you without even having to compete. And they're like, yes, please. We will go for option B. And so we got the buyer through. And yes, the buyer said, we'll hands down pay $300,000. We would love to. And that deal was made before the house even hit the market. So that's really a huge benefit of working with like a large team like us, or better yet, I can shout out working with Remax, because we do such a high portion of the market share. So those off market listings that we have that, you know, they're not quite ready to hit the market yet, but we still know about them. The sellers would still let us show them. We can only show those within our brokerage. I cannot call my good friends up already dying and say, oh my gosh, I know this would be perfect for your client, because that would be breaking the law. I can only share it with the people who are within this brokerage. So it's a huge advantage. So I will tell you, the statistics were that last year, our office here in Rochester, Remax Results, did like 47% dual agency, meaning if RE/MAX listed it, RE/MAX also sold it. I think my team last year did 77 or 78% dual agency. Oh, so wow. Like almost always somebody else on the team had the buyer or somebody else in RE/MAX had the buyer. Not always, but you know, it's like, we'll try to match make these and put the best case scenario, create the best win-win that we can for our clients. So it's a huge advantage to the buyers, especially when the inventory is so short and it's so hard and they get online and they don't see anything they want. And I say, oh, I might have something. You couldn't find it online, but I can tell you about it. So it's pretty exciting to buyers. And that's why we have sold 100 and I think now 14 houses so far this year.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it's exciting for the buyers. I'm thinking from the seller's point of view, it's like, that's hassle-free.
It's hassle-free. And, you know, sometimes the sellers will say, you know what? No, I've worked really hard to get it ready. I'd rather put it on the market.
Sure.
And see how many people get those 15 offers or get those 12 offers. And we say, of course, then we do it your way, yeah. Right? Of course we do.
Absolutely. Yeah, but to have that option for, you know, if you're in a situation where showing your house is a big hassle.
Well, and you know what they all find out at the end of the day? No matter how many offers we have, we can only sell it to one buyer.
Yeah.
And if that primo offer comes in, and there's so many factors, guys, it's not just the price of an offer, right? Because if somebody is offering what I think is $25,000 over what the house is going to appraise at, but they're offering cash, okay, you want to pay $25,000 over what it appraised because you want it that bad, but you're paying cash, so we know we don't have to appraise. Let's get her done.
Sure. Well, speaking of multiple offers, are we seeing a lot of multiple offers now with the spring market?
We are. We definitely are seeing multiple offers. And I'm glad you brought that up because I do have some tips. And clearly your own realtors are going to give you tips if you're not working with us. Hopefully you're getting the same advice. But there are ways to make your offer stand out when you are in a multiple offer. And I could scream this one because it's so important. Do not lowball on your price. If you're in multiple offers, don't think for 2 seconds you're buying this house for under ask. It's not going to happen, people. You know what? Chances are you're probably not even going to get it for the list price. Not unless your terms are ridiculously good. Like, oh, the people don't want to move out for 3 months. Fine. I'll wait their 3 months. I'll give them their price. I'll pay cash. I won't do an inspection. I mean, you can, but truthfully, just know that the average house in Rochester right now is selling for 101.7% of the asking price. So that means more than the asking price. Now, there are lots and lots of houses that are not selling for more than the asking price, especially when they're expensive homes, but they're all selling pretty darn close, or that number wouldn't be pushed over the top with the price point that is going into multiple offers. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely does.
So don't lowball. You're not going to win if you lowball. Second, talk to your agent about using an escalation clause. Now, they can work very well, and sometimes I like to use them because it protects the buyer. So let's say that the house is listed for $325,000. I personally believe it should have been listed for 340, but I know that the realtor was thinking, oh, let's just get the bids going, see what happens. So I say, you guys, easily this house hands down is appraising at 340, potentially even up to 350. So if we're listed at 330, maybe we want to start at 337, 338, maybe 340. Maybe we want to escalate up to as high as 350 and see what happens. So you understand, like, if somebody has a better offer on the table, if we offer 348 and somebody says, or excuse me, we offer 338 and somebody says, we're going to go 345, but I have an escalation clause of up to 350, and let's say it's 1,000 better than the best offer on the table. Well, the other best offer was 345. Now my offer becomes an offer of 346, but I didn't have to shoot right to 350 and I saved the buyer $4,000 and still won the house.
Sure.
All right. But what we're seeing more and more, and I don't know if it's because we have more new agents that just haven't been around long enough, because we used to use these as a very powerful tool. And then when interest rates got so low and everything just got turned upside down, it's like, ha, 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 you want to use an escalation clause. Okay. You know, it's like, put your best and final offer forward. Well, a lot of agents are still kind of in that mindset. And I don't know if it's just that they, and I'm not trying to sound sarcastic, I don't know if they just don't understand how to sort it out or why they're so anti against it. But some agents just say no escalation clauses. So if you're working with a seller's agent who will look at an escalation clause, that might be a effective tool.
I have a question for you on that.
Yeah.
I'm the seller and somebody submits a bid for my house that has an escalation clause. Do I know that it has an escalation clause? And do I know how high it goes?
You better. So I make sure to put it in the purchase agreement, not on a separate addendum. I make sure I have it in the purchase agreement written so that when you, the seller, are looking over the contract, you see like my big star with escalation clause in capital letters, right? See the attached terms of the escalation clause. So
okay,
you definitely know it's there because, yeah, could it be missed? It sure could be. So it's super important. And then does that answer your question?
Yeah. And once again, I learn something new every week.
Good. And then another tip I want to give you is be intentional about the concessions that you're asking for. Like, you know, some people will say, all right, this is great. Let's go 10,000 over, Robin. Oh, okay. You really want it. And then let's ask them to pay 12,000 in closing costs. Okay. Now you're offering 2,000 less than the asking price. You do understand how this works, right? So that's my job. It's my job to be able to guide people to put together a really strong offer without throwing their money away, without overbidding, without just saying, hey, let's win. Let's go 375 when I know doggone well it'll take 350 to win and no more. Why would I throw $25,000 of your money away, right? So you want to be working with somebody that's had some experience in multiple offers and winning in multiple offers, and that's going to help you, you know, put your best foot forward, because if you've got to compete, you got to win. You got to win. It's all
that's
about
the
winning.
Point.
That's the point.
All right, Robin, we'll take a break and come right back. We're with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results at News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM. Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group Remax Results and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good morning. Welcome back. Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results here at News Talk 1340 KROC AM 96.9 FM. And Robin, seeing as it is Easter weekend and, oh my gosh, people are, you know, they're traveling and their family's over and people are busy with that sort of thing. But it's also the middle of the spring market. Does it all grind to a halt for the weekend, or are you working? Do you have open houses?
Today will be a busy day, because for the folks that do live here, for instance, I'm showing houses this afternoon to a gal because her sister is coming for Easter.
Oh, sure.
And okay. So, you know, like when you have extra family in town, or maybe it might be your parents or your kids or however it works, but then you take advantage of the fact that they're here visiting from out of town and you would love to get their opinion. So it might be that we go back and take a look at a couple of houses that this buyer already likes, but now she wants her sister's opinion. But yeah, we have a lot of open houses today, actually. I think there'll be a lot of people out and about. It is just a really, really busy time. I mean, I remember saying that statistics showed that the best week to put your house on the market was like that April 13th through the 20th or something like that. Well, here we are.
Yes.
So, I mean, there are a lot of new listings out there. There is a lot of traffic. I know that we put a few listings on. We put a nice split over in Northwest Rochester on the market, and it came on the market yesterday. I think we had like 5 showings yesterday, an open house today, and like 5 showings again today. So no, yeah, it's definitely busy. Tomorrow, you know, actually on Easter Sunday, it will be, I think, pretty quiet. I'm hoping pretty quiet because I'm exhausted. I said it's kind of sad when you get to a point that one of the things I look most forward to about holidays is it usually means the phone's a little quieter that day. Gives me a little break without guilt.
Yeah, but knowing you, if you have a break, you're probably hosting some big event.
Oh, I have two different Easters tomorrow. I'm having a group at noon, and I will have about 10 people then. And it'll be fun because our friends that we met when we were in Ireland last year are actually here. So they'll be there. Fun. And then our neighbors who are going to Ireland in the fall are coming over to meet them so they can, you know, exchange ideas and suggestions. And then, of course, later in the day, we're going to have the kids and my sister and her kids. And yeah, so it'll be a fun day all day.
Not ready to open the pool yet, but getting closer. Heavens,
no. But actually, next weekend, I think they come. But I don't think I'll be in it next weekend, by any means. But yeah, it's here. We're full steam ahead, for sure.
Okay. Well, as always, you are available.
Of course. Don't worry. As I'm cooking Easter dinner, my cell phone will be laying right on that kitchen counter. And if you have the urge to call me, don't worry. I'll answer it. You can count on it.
Well, you better throw out that number then.
All right. Hopefully most of my listeners have it memorized, but if not, it's 507-259-4926. And I wish everyone a happy Easter.
All right, Robin, you have a great Easter as well. Enjoy the grandchild. That'll make it that much more special, I'm sure.
Yes, it will. Thank you.
All right. Robin Gwaltney with Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results here at News Talk 1340 KROC AM on 96.